Praise the Lord, we're not alone. Gosh, can you imagine if we had to go through all this stuff called life alone? God, I don't know what we would do. Man, I'm telling you, I don't want to imagine it, to be honest with you. Trying to even attempt to do it on my own. Because when I do it on my own, I mess up. We had to do it with Christ. And praise the Lord. I thank you for being here tonight. Y'all did come back, so some of you, and I appreciate that. Oh, Lord, I thank the Lord. I think we had a good day today and good spirit in the church, so praise the Lord for that. And I'm going to talk a little bit tonight, you know. I'm going to share some scripture, I think, maybe to be encouraging to us tonight at a time like this. And I'm going to reference two stories in the Bible. Of course, one of them where Joshua was told to lead the children across the Jordan to the other side. And then one of them is where Jesus told the disciples to get in the boat. And he got in the boat, and of course, on the Sea of Galilee, and they was told to go to the other side. And what I want to talk about tonight is how are we going to get to the other side? You know, it's fairly easy probably to come off the heels of what we've been through this week. Say, okay, what would be good? You know, well, what we're going through, so listen. And I don't want to take it from that standpoint, but I do want to look at it. You know, what are we going to have to do to get to the other side of this mountain that we're at? And I jotted a few things down, and like I said, I'm going to reference Scripture more tonight just because I think it's very relevant. But I'm going to read some verses in Joshua in the book of Mark first, and then I'm going to go into a few things I want to share with you, and then I'm just going to reference different Scriptures for encouragement tonight. And if you don't want to write anything, that's fine. You can just listen. But I'm on Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to read some verses there, and then I'm going to go to Joshua chapter 3. And then I'm going to go to Mark. And I read some of these last week, but I'm going to do a different part of the lesson as far as the Bible's concerned tonight. So I'm going to go over to verse number 10. And this, of course, where Joshua assumes command of the children. Joshua's been instructed by the Lord after the death of Moses, of course, to pick up where Moses left off. And Joshua's been instructed it's time for the children to receive the promise that God gave them. We talked about that last week a little bit. It says, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare your victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God gives you to possess. Now, I can't imagine here, but can you imagine after they've been wandering all these years, and for Joshua to come to them and say, 3 days, we're going across. I can't imagine what would have been going through the ones that were trying to be faithful and believe that they could make that journey through the Jordan. And he goes on, he says, I'm going to go down to, just because of time tonight, I'm going to go to chapter 3 now. I'm going to skip some verses there, and I'm going to read several verses there. Chapter 3, it says in verse 1, Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest and the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove your place and go after it. Verse 4 says, yet there shall be space between you and it about 2,000 cubits. That's roughly about 3,000 feet from what I can gather. And that's a long distance. By measure, come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, now look at this. And I could stop right here and probably talk on this for a while tonight, but I'm not. But I want to remind us of this. This is a pretty good time for us to think about this in our own lives right here. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Obviously, Joshua wanted to make sure that the people were going to be clean and before they went and did the things that they were going to be commanded to do. The Ark of the Covenant was very serious. That was God's presence at the time, as we know. And Joshua spoke unto the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify you in the sight of all of Israel, that they may know that I was with Moses as I will be with you. And you shall command the priest who bear the ark, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. And then it goes on and says, then Joshua told the children, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. I want to stop there for a minute. I pray, my prayer for every church tonight would be this. That what's being said would be, thus saith the Lord. It has to be, thus saith the Lord. It has to be the Word of God. If it's not the Word of God, we're not going to go in the direction we need to go. Individually, families, churches. And I'm saying that about every church tonight. And I know a lot of churches do, but my prayer would be that we would take serious the Word of God, and when we speak, may it be the words of the Lord. And Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you all of these people. I'm just going to leave it at that, save time. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you into Jordan. Now, therefore, you take the 12 men out of the 12 tribes of Israel and out of every tribe a man. It shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand up upon a heap. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over the Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they who bore the Ark of the Covenant were come into the Jordan, and the feet of the priest who bore the Ark were dipped into the brim of the water. It talks about how Jordan overflowed all of its banks all the time during the harvest. It says that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap. It talks about very far from the city of Adam that is beside Zaretan. 17, and the priest who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all of the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people passed clean over the Jordan. One verse here. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over the Jordan that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, saying. And I'm going to go over to Mark chapter 4. I was telling my wife earlier, I might not be able to validate this tonight. I've just seen it in a paraphrase here, quoting this. But it said, I'm just telling you what I've read in commentary. It says, normally the Jordan River is about 30 to 40 feet wide. I've never been there, so I have no idea. Has anybody ever been to the Jordan? I don't know how wide it is, but normally it said, however, when it flooded during those times, which it did every spring, that its depth would increase to about 40 feet and its width to nearly 2 miles. So I can't validate that, but I do believe this. If God's going to do a miracle, he's going to do a big one. And he had to do a big one when the waters parted. So we see here that the children of God followed the directions to go to the other side. Real fast in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Just giving us two stories now. And the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. Of course, Jesus had been teaching the parables and so forth, and he was tired. He told the disciples, let's get into our boat. They're on the Sea of Galilee. Let's go to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude,
They took him, even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. Again, I'm going to quote something else. I read where it said there could be 300 ships on the Sea of Galilee at one time fishing on a given day. Now there again, can you imagine? I'll guarantee you there was many of them in the storm. But we read about the one in the big storm here. It says this, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the pender part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. They awake him and said unto him, Master, carest not that we perish. He arose and rebuked the wind. Of course, we know the story. And said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey? Of course, everything else obeys him too, as I'm reading here. Now, I say that to say this. I just wrote down this, and I said, you know, we need to get to the other side of this stuff we're going through. And I jotted a few things down. There's more, obviously, but I've jotted a few down, and you can disagree with me. But obviously, we need to get to the other side of this mountain because we need a pastor. We really need an associate pastor, youth and children's director. I think that's a mountain that we got to get over. I think we need direction right now. I think that's a place where God is telling us, you know, let's get to the other side. I think we need growth. First and foremost, spiritual growth. I mean, any church, I don't care where it's at, that preaches Jesus Christ and the blood needs spiritual growth. I don't know about y'all, but I need spiritual growth. I don't think any of us are fully learned in this room tonight. We all need to grow spiritually. But we need to grow physically too. Numerically. Not because we want to brag. We want to grow numerically because people are coming into the church. More can be done for the Lord. I want to see us grow numerically in Sunday school. I want to see us, you know, I want to see Sunday school grow. I want to see my class grow. I said my class, the Lord gave me the. I want to see the class grow. I want to see the seats full. Not to brag. I want to see the seats full because that's how many's in that room. I think we need to see some growth. I think we need some healing. I think that's a river we need to cross or a mountain we need to cross over. Obviously, with any church, we need repentance. We don't need confession. We need repentance. And we need forsakening. When we confess something, I'm admitting to Brian I did something. But I hadn't asked him to forgive me for it. And then I didn't walk away from it. When we walk away from it as a church, as any church, I think we'll see changes. I was talking to Brother Ron this morning just about how many churches, how many churches changed over the last several years. I was sharing with him just in our association, 20-something churches. We've got 5 churches right now with interim pastors. Just in our little association. See, God will continue to equip people, though, to be pastors at those churches. There's no doubt in my mind because the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail. The church will stand. We've been promised that. But we're going to go through difficulties. And I know there's more, you know. There's some good things we don't have to do, too, I could list tonight. But I just made a note of these things, and I just said, you know what? What is it going to take for us to get to the other side of these things? What is it going to take for us to grow? What is it going to take for us to be spiritually just, you know, let the fires of God blow through this room again? And I'm not talking about like it used to be. I'm talking about what is it going to take to be what God wants.
at this moment. Of course, we all can say, you know, I wish it was like it used to be. A lot of people can say that about a lot of things in life. But we can't change things. We have to figure out what we're going to do in these things. So I jotted down four things real briefly I'm going to mention tonight. I think it's very relevant to what the children of God did when Joshua was leading them, and what the disciples did, because the disciples did obey. They did have some faith because they got in the boat. Okay? Yeah, they got scared in the storm, which I probably would have too. But at least they did go and get in the boat, and they followed Jesus' instructions, and they supported Jesus by following his directions. So I wrote down a few things here, and I'm just going to cover some scripture, and this is more for just to help us tonight, I believe. First thing I wrote down, I think it's going to take obedience. The children of God, obviously, were obedient. As I read you there in Joshua chapter 3, they did finally step into the middle of the water. The Ark of the Covenant, the priest did what they was told to do, and all of a sudden the ground dried up. They obeyed. They obeyed God, they obeyed Joshua, and they obeyed the leaders that Joshua sent throughout the camps to tell them what to do, because there was a lot of people that had to be communicated that were going across the Jordan. The disciples did what they were supposed to do. They got in the boat. A couple of verses I want to remind us of tonight that talks about obedience is this. John chapter 14, verse 15 says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commands." In other words, if you love me, you'll obey. If you love me, you'll be obedient. Todd, if you love me, you will be obedient. Exodus 19:5 says this. "If you obey me fully and keep my covenants, then you'll be a treasure." We see here in the book of where we see here speaking in Exodus that the people of God, Israelites, of course, and that is a promise to us today. If we obey the Lord fully and we keep his covenant, and we are in a covenant with God. If you've been saved, you're in a covenant with God. The covenant that was broken in the Garden of Eden has been put back together. And we know that through the blood of Jesus. There's a covenant there. If you love me and you keep my covenant, then you be treasured. And then Luke 11, verse 28 says this. He replied and said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." I believe it's going to take, I'm just using this church, but I could use five churches I just mentioned. I don't even know their situations, but I do know that they're going through the same thing we're going through. I believe one thing it's going to take is for people to be obedient to God. Now, I look around this room, and I want to say to God be the glory, because I believe most of us in this room, if not every single one of us, probably try to obey the Word of God. I don't know everybody's hearts, but I can see the fruit, and I'm thankful for that. You're here tonight. I'm thankful for that. But we've got a multitude of people that comes in and out of these areas we live in that need to see that we're obedient to God in the things that God has told us to do. Sometimes it's tough to do the things that we feel like God has told us to do. And I shared some of that this morning with y'all. I mean, some things are hard to do sometimes. And we have to first and foremost, we have to respect and honor the Word of God. And I just gave you three verses that says God desires that we be obedient. We have to obey his word, I believe, in order to receive the promises that he will get us to the other side. I think there's another ingredient we need to have. I believe it's courage. You think that it took courage? First of all, if you was a priest, obviously, you knew the responsibility you had carrying the Ark of the Covenant. But can you imagine the courage it would have taken to walk into the water and trust Joshua and God that what he said was going to take place was going to take place if it was flooding season, if the banks was overrun? That took some courage.
I've got to give them credit for courage. I've got to give the disciples credit for courage because they had to follow the man that had been doing all of these, teaching all these parables, but yet being criticized and persecuted. And they had to have courage to follow Jesus. Well, I believe the church has to have courage tonight. We have to be courageous. And I say we, I mean, I'm talking to myself. We must have courage in order to accomplish the things I believe that God wants us to accomplish. A few scriptures that talks about courage, and of course I read one of them last week, but Deuteronomy 31 verse 6, of course, says, "Be strong and of good courage." Be strong. Moses talking to people, be strong and good courage. Joshua tells them in Joshua chapter 1, be strong and be courageous. 1 Chronicles, verse 28, verse 20, David said to Solomon, I want you to be strong and courageous, when he was telling him to go rebuild the temple. David talking to Solomon. Solomon's got this big old task to build the temple. And David says, listen, I want you to be strong, and I want you to be courageous. I want you to have courage. Why do we have to have courage as Christians? I mean, I could ask you tonight and tell everybody to write down something. Why do we have to have courage as a Christian? And you all would write down things, I'm sure, that would all tie together at the end that would make sense when we talk about courage. But we have to have courage as a Christian to walk the life that we've been asked to walk. I mean, you remember God said His way is narrow? Jesus said, my way is narrow. Very few even find it. You know why very few find it? One of the reasons, it takes courage. It takes courage for people to accept Christ sometimes when they think their lives are gone too far and they can't be forgiven. See, think about that. Think about somebody you may know that you've talked to before and saying, man, there's no way I can receive Christ because I've been too bad of a person, or I've done too bad of things. And can you imagine how much courage that person really needs in their life to overcome that fear? I think the same applies to the Christians. We got to have courage if we're going to accomplish some of the things that I've talked about tonight. I never dreamed 2 years ago we would be right back in this spot tonight as a church. And I'm not going to talk a lot about it, but there's a few people in the room that would say the same thing. I can promise you. I'm looking out there and I see a few of you. And I would never have dreamed that we'd be in this same spot. But then I'm reminded at the same time that, you know, there's a time and there's a place for everything. And there's a reason for this. And it may be that God wants His children to be courageous because of the things that we're going to face. Now, I'm adding that in, of course, to what we're going through in life right now, but I'm just saying, in essence, we're going to have courage to move forward. We're going to have courage if we're going to seek God's direction and follow it. It don't take a lot of courage to seek God's direction. It takes courage to follow God's directions. See, we're going to have courage if we're going to seek God for growth. Because we're going to have to trust Him that we're going to grow. When a church starts growing spiritually, it's no different than a life that starts growing spiritually. Think about a life that you know of somebody that just went wild for Jesus and started growing all of a sudden. And how that just went through other people's life and infected them. Or think about your own life where you was changed and you started to grow spiritually. Can you imagine if you can get churches doing that today? Man, I tell you, a lot's changed, ain't it, Jonathan, since your daddy was preaching. His daddy was my preacher years ago. And I'm going to tell you, the church has changed dramatically. But God hadn't changed. Jesus hadn't changed. The Holy Spirit hadn't changed. The size of the offering envelopes have changed. I I'm going to give y'all that one for free. Some things have changed. But I'm going to tell you, I believe this. I believe for the children of God today, you got to have more courage than ever before to live a Christian life. And y'all know what I'm talking about if you've been on this earth any amount of time. I'm not talking to a lot of young people, as far as young people, a lot of people. You know what I'm saying when I tell you it takes courage to stand for Jesus today. It takes courage for that group to stand at Sturgis. That's just not an easy thing to do. It took obedience, the first thing, but it's taking them courage. One other verse I want to talk about tonight real quick on courage says this. And I thought about mentioning this when they sang the last song just now, but Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and salvation, and whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? I fear none if I have courage." Man, I'm going to tell you, if I could get plugged into that right there. Now listen to that. The Lord is my light. We know that as a Christian. We know He's our salvation. Whom shall I fear? Who do you fear? If I ask you that tonight, who do you fear? Who do you feel like you need to be more courageous around? Who do you need to take more courage around? Who would that person be, maybe? The devil? Yeah. But not only the devil, all these little demons out here. All these little antichrists running around the world. So a lot of people, well, the antichrist hadn't come yet. No, but I'm going to tell you what, a lot of his kinfolk are here. Anything that is against Christ is an antichrist. And they are around this world tonight trying to destroy the church. In this world tonight trying to destroy the church. So I believe we got to have courage. Two other things I believe we need to do here. I believe we need to take action. What does the Bible say Joshua did? He took action. What does it say the disciples did? They took action. You know what we're going to have to do at this church? We're going to take action. We're going to have to put the feet on the ground and do some things. Maybe even more so now. Maybe even more so now. In order to get to the point where we want to be one day, wherever that may be. I don't know how long we'll have an interim. May or may not be Brother Ron Davis. I don't know that for sure yet. But I do know this. We have got to continue going forward, whoever's at the helm. We've got to take action. We can't just stop and say, okay, we're going to wait. And we got some things that this church has voted on and put in place, and we got to rock and roll. We can't let things slip when it comes to some of the things we've discussed as a church. And you'll see some of those things probably from some of the leadership teams over time, whatever that may be. Whatever that may be. There's some things that we want to take action on. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, "Fight the good fight." You can't have a good fight if you didn't what? If you didn't fight. Revelation 2 verse 10 says this, "Be faithful even to the point of death." Take action. Titus chapter 3 verse 1 says, "We're told to do whatever is good." 1 John 3:18 says, "Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth." Let us not love just in word or talk, but love in deed and truth. Go forward with action. And then he says this in James chapter 2. If faith does not have works, it is what faith? Anybody know what that word is? If you show me somebody that has no works, I can show you somebody that has what? What faith? A dead faith. A Christian has to take action. We have to, we're going to have to do some things as a church. I believe under the leadership of an interim. That's just me telling you that. I don't want to give you opinions because I don't like to give opinions from up here, I'm telling you. But I'm just sharing with you my heart. I think there's some things we're going to have to do under the leadership of an interim. I mean, I'd love to see us hire an associate pastor, you know, and start grooming them with somebody, a good pastor that could groom them. Or I'd love to see us get something going with the youth and the children. And I could go on and on. I'd love to see us do a lot of things. And I think we will do a lot of things. We're not the type of church that's just going to sit on our hands and do anything, because there's too many volunteers here that want to do stuff. Praise the Lord for our volunteers in this church. Golly, bum. I don't know of any other church that's ran by volunteers as much as this one is, do y'all? And you know what? We're doing pretty good. We're spending God's money wisely, I guess, aren't we? Thank the Lord for volunteers. See, our volunteers, this church has always been known for people who volunteer. And, of course, we got our staff members. Praise the Lord for them. Praise the Lord for you. Praise the Lord for Sandy being back with us tonight. Good to see you back. Been gone 10 years. I didn't think it had been 10 years. Praise the Lord for each one of you tonight. Because when I look out here, I see people who want to be active, who want to take action. If it's nothing else, just praying. I see people who want to have courage in this day, that'll stand up when they're asked to do something. I really believe that in the days ahead and the months ahead. This too shall pass. And I believe that my prayer is the Lord will bless this church richly and abundantly. And my prayer is he'll bless Jeremy and his family richly and abundantly. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. God, forgive me if I don't mean that. I mean it. I can tell you this, and I share things with you because I'm transparent. Y'all, I mean, I'm a transparent person. Your personnel committee, I can tell you, we sat in that room with Jeremy the other night, and we told him we forgive him. When we walked out of that room, the personnel committee said, we forgive you for whatever, okay? I'm talking about just whatever. We don't want to harbor any thoughts, and I'm sure if each one of us if we see something, we might remind each one of us, hey, we said we forgave. I want to forgive and forget and move on, see. But I want the blessings to be upon this church, and I want the blessings to be on his household. I truly do. I believe we went through this 2-year period for a reason. God's going to show us something, or he's going to show them something, or he's going to show all of us something. But there's a reason that we go through things in life. And I believe God will reveal that. So my challenge tonight is that we'll continue to take action as a church. And then one other thing, we've got to trust the Lord. The disciples, even though they cried out to the Lord, even though God told them they didn't have a lot of faith, they still trust the Lord because they got in the boat with him. And they followed him that day. Of course, we know they finally got to the other side. And what was the first thing they faced? Satan. First person they faced was a man demon-possessed. Ain't that like it happens sometimes when you come off a good miracle, a good high, all of a sudden the first person you see is Satan. Sin is always a downward spiral. I told the Sunday school class last week or this week, I don't remember, but sin always goes downward. It's not going to take you upward. It's always going to take you downward. We got to trust the Lord. Joshua definitely trusted the Lord. Can you imagine? Now, I can't imagine this, but let's just say that these statistics was right. Let's say when the Jordan River flooded, it was a half a mile wide. I'm just going to cheat and say it wasn't even near as wide as they said. And let's say it was as deep as they say. How high would the waters have been had to pile? How many people literally believe the children walked across the middle of that water on dry land? How many don't believe it tonight? I'm sure we all believe that
that Jonah was swallowed by a fish, don't we? I believe what the Bible says. Can you imagine how the water had to be pushed up or how far upstream it had to be stopped? I want to believe Jesus did the miracle itself and everybody could see the waters on each side and walked across on dry land and was amazed. That's what I believe. But I don't know of anybody that can tell us exactly because they wasn't there. So that's what I'm going to believe. I'm going to believe it happened just like I'm going to believe the waters was pushed up on high on both sides. I know it could have. I know God could have stopped it upstream a little further and let it dry out. God could do anything he wanted to do. I believe we've got to trust the Lord. The people trusted the Lord. The priest trusted the Lord. The people had to trust the Lord. Can you imagine how fast would you have been walking, Brian, to get across the water? If you seen the waters pile up on both sides, who would have been walking faster to make sure they could get across before it came back down? I'd have been walking fast. But can you imagine just walking slow, just knowing, you know what, God, you got this under control. Now, I'm talking to myself right now, but I'm going to tell you, church, God has this thing under control. He's got it under control. Because you know what? He's seen it before it even happened. He's seen this before it even happened. They had to trust the Lord. Now, I wrote down a few scriptures here, and I'm going to close in just a minute. It says this. We know these scriptures very well, one of them for sure. John 14:1 says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Just believe in me. Just trust me. Psalm 13:5 says, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I trust in your unfailing love. Psalm 20:7 says, I love this verse right here. This is a good verse to remember. Can you imagine this verse when it was quoted? In this day. Now think about this day back in the Old Testament. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord. I'm reminded of old Pharaoh coming after Moses and the children when they crossed the Red Sea. He was trusting in horses and chariots to get him across. You know what was drowned in the bottom of the Red Sea? How many can guess? Other than Pharaoh and his people, other than the people? Horses and chariots. May we trust in the name of the Lord. One other verse. Proverbs 3:5-6. Jeremy put that in his resignation letter. What a verse. Y'all know it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make straight your path. Wonderful verse for Jeremy to choose, a wonderful verse to us to claim tonight. But let me tell you this in closing. Throughout the Bible, there seems to be victory and blessing when the other side is reached for God. Are y'all tracking with me? There seems to be victory and blessing when we finally get to where God told us to go. Hundreds more stories we could go through than that. I just picked two because I wanted to remind us we're going to get there. We're going to make it to the other side. But I'm telling you, throughout the Bible, we've got victory and blessing when people make it to the other side for God. Let's just lift our eyes into the hills, as Psalms 121 says there in verse 1 and 2. And I'm going to say this. It takes a lot. It takes a lot to obey and to trust and to have courage and to be willing to follow somebody else. It takes a lot of trust. But it takes faith to follow God. And the Bible says with faith, all things are possible. With faith, we can accomplish a lot of things. I just want to tell us this is encouragement tonight. And of course, you may tell me you're not discouraged. I don't know.
I want to tell you with a little bit of encouragement tonight, though, is just as Brother Ron tried to this morning about, you know, looking to God. We're going to get to the other side. There's no doubt in my mind, because I read the last book in the Bible, and we're going to win. Book of Revelation tells us, as children of God, we've already won. Well, we got these little old battles to face. We have to put the armor of God on every day, don't we, Johnny? Every day. Me and Johnny's talked about that before. I know he practices it, and I try to practice it. Not boastfully. I'm telling you, I have to do that. And I even have to arm my family. I think it's a responsibility of mine. The battles are real, but I'm going to tell you this. We're going to make it to the other side. So whatever we're going to go through over the next several weeks, whatever we hear, whatever we discuss, if anybody comes to that meeting on that Wednesday night, for all I know, it may be just the personnel team sitting in there on that Wednesday night. I don't know. That'd be something, wouldn't it? Melinda, Greg, Jerry's in Sturgis, you know, fella. Jerry got out of having to do some homework around here today. Y'all know what I mean? You know what? I don't care if we got 250 people on Wednesday night there or zero. God's got this thing, and He's in control. And He's in control of the Smith family. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for one another. And let's keep our eyes on God, not on the things that's going on. That's two times y'all heard that today. Brother Ron said it this morning, and I'm saying it tonight. Let's don't look at the circumstances. Let's keep our eyes on God. And God will be glorified, and God will be magnified. And you know what? He'll look at us and say, well done. And that's what we want to hear, well done. Father, we thank You for this day. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the presence of Your word tonight. And I thank You so much for these people that are here tonight. And Lord, I pray that anything that may have been said was from You. And Lord, that maybe we're encouraged tonight to keep looking to the word of God. Because God has the answers. Brother Ron told us this morning. And the word of God has the answers as I shared tonight. And I just pray that we would keep our eyes on You. And God, may You be glorified and magnified in everything that's done. May You bless each person here tonight. And Jesus, we just want to tell You, we love You, and we're looking forward to walking with You through this journey again, because You're going to show us some things as a church. I really believe that, and we just praise You for that. May You bless all the other churches as well in our association, Lord, as they're looking for pastors as well. Lord, it's a tough thing to be a pastor nowadays. The church has changed so much. People don't want to hear the Word of God, And Lord, I'm thankful for a group of people that still goes to Whitefield, at least here, and other churches around here that still want to hear the Word of God. So praise You for that. Lead us as we go our home or night, our separate ways, and we'll praise You evermore in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless y'all.